The Vancouver Art Gallery recently opened an exhibition of works by local artist Brian Youngen. Born in St. John, Youngen graduated from Emily Carr in 1992 and has since garnered a reputation around the world with successful shows in New York and Edinburgh. He has recently been awarded the prestigious Sobey Award for Emerging Canadian Artists, and Josh Brandon went to the show this week, and he joins me now in the studio. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
What was in the exhibition?
Well, it was a pretty comprehensive survey of his works. Took up the whole second floor of the art gallery, and some of the pieces were quite large pieces. The highlight of the show was there's a collection of masks, and that you've probably seen some of the ads on bus stops. There were these masks made out of Nike runners. And it was apparently the first time that all 23 masks were collected in one place. And the title of those pieces was called Prototypes for a New Understanding. And a lot of his work, like those masks, have a kind of First Nations theme. It builds on his own background, coming from Fort St. John as a half Dunéza, native background, and part Swiss, apparently. So it was a really large exhibition. There's these giant whale skeletons floating in the air, and a lot of installations. Some of them were more sculptural than others, but it was interesting.
What was your impression of the exhibition?
Well, like I said, the pieces were really massive, a lot of them. The whale skeletons were really life size, and you just felt you were confronted with this whale hanging over your head as you come up the stairs. And so that was really striking. There was a lot of diversity of the works, ranging from some sculptures to installations. There was one section of the gallery that was boarded off with plywood and a caged fence, and inside they had an aviary with finch flying around. So it's not the usual thing you see in an art gallery.
Was there a particular piece that stood out for you?
There was one that really did strike me in a particular way. It was called Isolated Depiction of the Passage of Time. And actually, when I first saw it, I almost passed over it. It was just on a wooden pallet. There was stacked in a cube about 1,500... cafeteria trays, like you would see at any cafeteria or at a lot of fast food restaurants, and they were in different colors, and you didn't really notice it until you stood close to it for a minute and you heard that there was faint sounds, voices being emitted from inside. And it struck me enough that I went to go read a little bit more about it. They had a bit of a description on it on the wall, and apparently this piece was inspired by a work that's in the museum at Kingston Penitentiary, where one of the prisoners had fashioned out of the food trays an escape pod, and he'd glued together thousands of these food trays and had hollowed out an inside portion of them to try to escape from when they carted away the food trays. And so he's transformed this into an art piece, and I thought that was really an interesting idea. And then inside he has a television set playing The Great Escape, the movie. So it was an interesting idea, that piece.
Very clever. Do we know whether the prisoner successfully escaped?
I don't believe he did, unfortunately.
maybe a more aesthetic idea than a successful escape pod.
Right.
Now, one of Youngen's most publicized work is a series of masks made from Nike runners, which you mentioned earlier. What do you think is the significance of his use of Nike products?
Well, Nike really is one of the corporations that's most associated with globalization. There's been, you know, a lot of accusation of their use of sweatshops. And also, they really are a symbol of consumer excess. You know, people spending $150 for a pair of runners that cost the company 15 cents to make in Indonesia or some other country. And so it's really, I think it's become one of the most striking icons and the antagonist of the anti-corporate branding movement, like, it's sort of associated with Naomi Klein and her no logo. And the pieces apparently were started in 1998. They were completed over a seven-year period. But I think it's a significant date in that that was shortly after the APEC protests here in Vancouver, where there was a lot of awareness about Nike. So I think that date isn't insignificant. And I think he was also trying to, as well, create a bit of a linkage between Aboriginal culture and African American culture, because the Nike brand runners are it's very popular, I guess, among African American youth in the United States, and trying to draw those linkages, because the masks themselves are very much inspired by Native culture and. So drawing that linkage as well, I think.
A lot of Jungen's other work feature consumer goods. Is there a common theme that you drew from these pieces?
Well, I think he's really trying to reappropriate these branded goods as raw materials to create something else. And I think this really starts to pose the question of why art does have value. Because, you know, when you look at a branded good, you wonder, well, why are people paying $150 for that pair of runners? Or, that IKEA sofa that costs, $50. Why does that brand give it value? And I think then you start to wonder, well, why does art have value? And why does some art have value and some other pieces of art don't have value? And what is then the value of Native culture? And because these masks that he creates, they're very, very reminiscent of the Haida or Kwakawaka masks that are collected by museums around the world. And so this cultural appropriation is at the same time related to an instance of denigrating the local culture. And so I think he's playing with a lot of those different themes in his choice of materials.
Well, it's a complex cycle, because I guess the corporate world is always trying to appropriate artwork, and then you always have to kind of, the process for the artist is then try to re-subvert that kind of appropriation and then appropriate the corporate work. So it's an ongoing kind of struggle to do that.
Right, and that's I think one of the strengths of his work is that he is able to recycle those materials in a productive way.
Now, just looking at the materials again, sometimes we have an idea of artists as working with specialized materials, with traditional art materials, yet Jungen uses a lot of everyday objects in his piece. Do you think he's actually addressing the line between arts and crafts?
I think so. I mean, one of his pieces explicitly was called the Arts and Craft Book Depository, and this was is another enormous piece. It's actually a house that was modeled after another house that was built in California around 1908 that was part of the Arts and Craft architectural movement at that time. And so the piece models itself on that, and inside the book depository there's this collection of arts and crafts books, and it really starts to invite you to think about the place of art within the museum and the relationship there. And I think one of the messages that he's trying to get is the idea that, there isn't really necessarily such a separation between arts and crafts. That separation is imposed by our dominant culture that sees, you know, what European men do as being art and what everybody else in the world does as being craft. So if you go to a lot of museums, you'll find, you know, on the bottom floor, there's a lot of objects that were appropriated from around the world by imperialists traveling here and there. And they bring home their First Nations masks and their other artifacts from around the world. And these are separated from, you know, the main pieces that are on the upper floors that are, you know, the European masters painted. And I think he's trying to make us think about some of the contradictions in that separation. I think the other thing that he's trying to do is make us think about the separation between industrial products and art. And so on the one hand, he uses these industrial products like shoes or plastic lawn chairs as materials. And then on the other hand, he recreates replicas of industrial materials like these beautiful cedar wooden pallets that were used in the piece I was talking about before, as well as in a couple of other pieces, that are, you know, made of the finest cedar, and they're most smoothly fashioned structures. And yet, you know, when you think of a cedar pallet, it's just this disposable object that's used, you know, in industry for carting objects around the world, right? And so I think he's drawing a lot of, trying to blur a lot of these boundaries that we have in our minds about art.
Do you think his pieces are successful in challenging stereotypes of Native culture?
I think a lot of them are quite good in that. There was one in particular that made me think was this. He has this cooler full of Pilsner beer, and you know, it's kind of taking the notion of, you know, when the first fur traders came here, bringing these offerings of alcohol to the First Nations people to try to corrupt them. And here he is trying to corrupt the art world by bringing beer into the art gallery. So I think he's doing a lot of really good plays like that. But I wonder sometimes whether some of the pieces are maybe a little too perfect and not open-ended enough. Because, you know, apparently, you know, Michael Jordan owns one of the masks, and, you know, these are they're so nice. They're something any, you know, wealthy person would want to invite into their home. You know, you have these beautiful artworks, and it's, I wonder whether or not people are able to be critical enough of them because they are so perfect.
Hmm. Do you think it's clear who the intended audience is for the pieces?
Well, I don't know exactly who it was. The crowd there was quite small, some of the allusions to the pieces are a bit difficult to get. Like I said, you know, some of them I would almost walk by unless I'd read the description of them or did a bit more research. They are intriguing enough for me to at least want to go do that extra step. Some of the pieces, I wonder, though, whether they're a little out of place at an art gallery. One of the things I noticed was that piece that I mentioned, the Arts and Crafts Depository, it was intended, obviously, to be a more interactive piece. It was intended to invite you in, and apparently when it was first constructed, it was expected to almost act as a library. People would go there and study. In the art gallery, it's roped off, so you can't access that element to it. So I wonder whether or not the art gallery is the right place for it.
Well, I guess we'll give people the information that they need and the opportunity to go and have a look for themselves and assess whether that's the right place for them.
Yeah, well, I encourage people to go see it. I enjoyed it. It's showing at the Vancouver Art Gallery until April 30th. And don't make the same mistake that I did. Apparently, they've changed the donation day from Thursday to Tuesday. And so encourage you to go on the day when you can, when everyday people can afford to see these pieces.
Good tip. Thanks very much for coming in, Josh.
Thanks a lot.
Telling us about the show. I've been speaking with Josh Brandon, and Josh went to see the Brian Youngen exhibition at the Vancouver Art Gallery this week.